Hello, this is the Level 9 Podcast. My name is Jesse, and I am here with Alex. Alex, how are you doing today?
I think I'm fine. It's been a pretty good week. We got some excited for our second episode here.
Yeah, after a long time discussing and researching names, we finally came across the Level 9 Podcast. Do you want to kind of give us a description on how you came across that name after the hours it seemed we spent trying to figure out a name for this podcast?
Yeah, definitely. It definitely was not our first choice, that's for sure. I mean, we went through so many names before we could even find one. Yeah. And then it just randomly came to me, you know, we're doing a game podcast. We're in the ninth generation of gaming. Xbox and, you know, Sony aren't in the ninth generation, but, you know, in whole, it's been nine generation of consoles. And obviously, you know, we're not just an Xbox. We're mostly going to be Xbox, PlayStation, but we're gamers, so we'll talk about other games too. And obviously, you know, the word level, everybody associates the word level with gaming. So I just thought, you know, ninth generation and level nine, we're starting our podcast in the ninth generation. So this is how it came to be. And we had other options, but a lot of them were taken. So this one was not taken. So we're like, all right, that's it. Keep going with this.
Yeah, I'm glad that we were finally able to come across one. And it's a solid name too. I'm a fan of it.
Yeah, so, I know I haven't shown you really yet, but we're kind of working on a logo as well, so stay tuned for that one. That's kind of when that's all finished up.
Yes, I am excited to see that as well. On the second episode today, we're going to be going through the Game Awards nominations. The Game Awards are the yearly award show that just honors the best video games of the past year. And now this year, it is going to be a bit different with COVID and everything. There's not going to be a live audience. It's going to be streamed online virtually. Game Award, I think there's massive game reveals, game trailers, presenters from the gaming industry just discussing each award with like Game of the Year and Best Sound Design, Best Performance, PlayStation kind of cleaned house with 22 nominations. Xbox has 8, Nintendo 5, Bethesda 4, EA 5. So yeah, that's going to be what we're going to be going through today.
Yeah, the Game Awards are an exciting time. I mean, like, they're pretty much like the Oscars of video games. And, you know, obviously people all have their opinions on which game should be nominated for which, but in the end, like, the games that we'll be mentioning, you know, obviously chosen by a jury, and obviously they're there for a reason. So the Game Awards are super fun. I think they're gonna be live on December 10th or something like that. Everybody tune in if you want to watch that. It's like Jesse mentioned, there's gonna be some big game reveals. Hopefully, there usually is. We have no inside knowledge. We're just going from past game awards. But yeah, so the Game Awards are super exciting. They're pretty awesome for the video games. So
yeah, it's sort of kind of turned into a mini version of E3 where there's just massive reveals of video games. I think God of War, the one for the PS4, was announced there a couple of years ago, and it was just a huge moment. I remember just watching it live, and I was just screaming at my computer screen.
Fun fact: the Xbox Series X was first revealed at last year's Game Awards. So,
yeah, I'm definitely excited to see what gets kind of teased or revealed this year for 2021. And
the first time we ever seen the Series X was the last year's Game Awards. So, that just kind of shows how big of teases we could see at an event. So,
I mean, I know it's unlikely, but I'm kind of looking at Todd Howard and Bethesda to kind of give us a bit more with Elder Scrolls 6. I know it's probably not going to be for a few more years, but I mean, I'm eager to jump back into
Starfield
that.
One.
Yeah, that
one. You'll see a Starfield before Elder Scrolls 6.
I mean, I have no idea what it's going to be with that game just based on the trailer we saw and what they've kind of teased with that. I'm excited for that one too. Anything Bethesda, I'm really excited, even though now I'm going to probably have to buy an Xbox to play anything Bethesda.
So, yeah, we'll talk about that in another episode.
Yeah, yeah. So there are 25 main categories and 6 esport categories. So we'll go through each category and discuss each nominee. The first category is the best game direction.
Yeah, so the best game direction is usually awarded for outstanding creative vision and innovative in game direction and design. This is one of my favorite categories, actually, because the winner is usually something that has changed the game industry or, you know, kind of set like a standard. So I kind of like this award a lot.
We have 5 nominations. We have Final Fantasy Remake, Ghost of Tsushima for the PlayStation 4, Hades, Half-Length, and The Last of Us Part 2 by Naughty Dog. Do you have any thoughts or picks for who might walk away with this award?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Again, I think I've only played Hades, and Hades is only the only one I really kind of played a bit. I haven't played Hades enough. But just from my personal thoughts, I think the Final Fantasy VII Remake would win this direction or win this award. Just because, you know, it kind of set a new standard for remaking games, kind of set a new bar, kind of set a new, obviously, you know, innovation is a key word in this one, right? So definitely Final Fantasy VII Remake innovated a lot, and I think it's going to end up winning there, so.
Yeah, I think any of the five nominations have a solid chance of walking away with it, but I mean, Ghost of Tsushima, that kind of took a new direction of, like, RPGs and open world. It's stunning. I think I've screenshotted that game more than any other game. Just every 30 seconds I'd walk around, I'd see a tree that looked amazing, and I would just hit screenshot. Last of Us 2, I mean, I think that also has a solid chance to kind of sweep the awards this year. They have 10 nominations.
I do want to say that every single one of these awards, like, I'm going through them, I think they're all, like, all these nominations are worthy in some sort of way. Like, if you look at Half-Life Alyx, it kind of set a new standard for virtual reality gaming, right? Like, virtual reality gaming's been a thing, but it's never been, like, top tier. Like, if you watch gameplay on this game, it feels like you're playing, like, a AAA PlayStation 5 Xbox Series X game. So it kind of sets a new standard for virtual gaming there. And then Hades kind of set a new state. Like, it kind of came out and kind of caught everybody off guard how good it was. So that's always a good sign. But I just want to give a shout out to every single one in that category, because I think they're all worthy of some sort of nomination for sure.
Yeah, Hades certainly kind of jumped out of nowhere and ended up with 8 nominations this year. So that's very impressive. I mean, it has more nominations than Doom, Fall Guys, Animal Crossing, Fortnite. That's just, to come out and just kind of do that, that's wild.
Yeah, it's a game that everybody should play, at least one, at least.
The next category is Best Narrative. We have 13 Sentinels, Hades once again, the Final Fantasy Remake, Ghost of Tsushima, and The Last of Us Part 2.
So Best Narrative is obviously, you know, it's pretty self-explanatory, but it's outstanding towards storytelling and narrative development in a game. So, you know, a game that kind of captivates you by the story. So, again, I'm a huge RPG guy, so this category is probably my favorite out of all of them.
Yeah, I think best storytelling by far this year has to be The Last of Us Part 2. I'm probably going to say that quite a lot this podcast, but I mean, that from start to finish, that game sucked me right in, and Naughty Dog just did not let its grasp of me and my girlfriend, who watched the entire thing until the very end. It was just an outstanding game. It felt like I was just watching a movie. It was just phenomenal.
Yeah, so I never played any. I've only played Hades out of all these categories again. But I have played The Last of Us 1, and just from playing that game, I can tell you that The Last of Us Part 2 is probably fantastic story-wise. So I'm going to give that to The Last of Us Part 2 as well. Obviously, you know, shout out to everybody in this nomination too, but Last of Us 2 storytelling is phenomenal. So I have no doubt The Last of Us Part 2, I actually watched my roommate play it, so I haven't played it, but I have watched the story. So definitely it's going to win there for sure.
Yeah, so it's a game, and it's just as fun watching as it is playing. You can do either one and enjoy it. The next category is Best Art Direction. Again, Final Fantasy Remake, Ghost of Tsushima, Hades, Ori and the Will of the Wisps, and The Last of Us Part 2.
So Best Art Direction is, again, pretty self-explanatory, but it's for outstanding creative and or technical achievement in artistic design and animation. This one is actually a bit tougher because... you know, you look at every single one of these lists and they all have a very, very unique art style. Like, none of them, all the games on this list do not have the same art style. So I think it's more of a better preference on this one, but I'm just kind of curious to see what you think. I think I know who you're going to pick, but I'm curious.
I mean, surprisingly, I'm going to pick Ghost of Tsushima just because I don't think there's a better looking game on the PlayStation 4 than Ghost of Tsushima. It's just, by far, the first 30 seconds I started playing it, it felt like I was watching a movie. Like, the cinematic style of Japanese film is just, you can tell they definitely took a lot from watching those sort of movies, because it's just outstanding. And Last of Us Part 2 does look amazing. It feels as though they kind of took PlayStation 5 parts to develop it, just because just the details in each environment stands out wherever you look. But again, I think Ghost of Tsushima is going to walk away with this one. It'll be close. I mean, Ori and the Will of the Wisp, that game is kind of tucked away there too, but I think that has a solid chance of winning it as well.
Man, I was going to say, people are going to be sleeping on that game because it's an Xbox exclusive, and a lot of people haven't probably played it unless they're an Xbox owner. Or, you know, Last of Us Part 2, everybody's kind of heard of, whether you're an Xbox owner or a PlayStation, Ghost of Tsushima, same thing, right? Or over in the World of the Wisps, I don't know, man. That's good. To me, it comes down to that one and Ghost of Tsushima. As much as Last of Us Part 2 looks really good, I personally don't think they, like, innovated any art in sort of way. Like, it looks fantastic, but it kind of, you know, like, Last of Us 1 already looked really good, whereas Ghost of Tsushima with their photo mode kind of changed the way people look at games, you know, in artistic design, because, you know, people are posing for pictures, you could go into the gray mode or whatever, and then already in the World of the Wisps, well, I mean, that game's just fantastically beautiful, but as much as my Xbox bias might be showing, I think I'm going to go with Ghost of Tsushima on that one.
Yeah, well, it'll certainly be close. Most of these categories, I think, it'll be close, and there's going to be a lot of surprises, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
And next up, we have the best score and music, Doom Eternal, the first time we're seeing Doom on the list, Final Fantasy Remake, Hades, Ori and the Will of the Wisps, and The Last of Us Part 2. I'll let you take it from here.
Obviously, best score and music is for outstanding music, inclusive score, original song, and or licensed soundtrack. And this might be a controversial pick, maybe not so much, but I'm going to give this one to Doom Eternal, to be honest with you. That soundtrack is phenomenal. You know, you're in hell blowing things up. It's just a super action, fast-paced action game, and the music that just goes on gets the adrenaline flowing. So I think that one's going to – I personally would get it. I don't think it's going to win, but that's what I would give my award to.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I mean, I spent a lot of time playing the first Doom and was extremely excited when they announced this and it was released. I'm only about halfway through it just because the last few months has just been saturated with video games that I've needed to play. But yeah, the soundtrack to Doom Eternal, it just makes you feel like a badass in hell, running around shooting all these demons, right? And monsters. And it's just, you can pretty much do anything you want when you hear that music. It's like the Mario Party music. It just makes you feel like you can accomplish anything.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And next up, we have best audio design.
Yeah, so this one is, people are probably like, well, music and audio design are similar, but they're not in its way. Like, this one is for recognizing best in-game audio and sound design. So the one we just talked about was best soundtrack, score, and music, whereas this one's like, you know, this is probably the smaller things that a lot of people probably wouldn't notice, like the footsteps or the wind blowing or, you know, like things like that. That's what this award is more for rather than the soundtrack.
We have Doom Eternal, Half-Life, Alex, Ghost of Tsushima, Resident Evil 3, which is surprised me, actually, and The Last of Us Part 2. Now, I am going to pick The Last of Us Part 2 for the best audio design just because playing with your headphones on, you hear everything around you. You hear enemies scream out the names of people you just blew away with a shotgun. I remember hitting glass countless times just to hear it shatter into countless pieces. Just everything from the footsteps to the enemies, you can tell they certainly spent a lot of time in that department with Naughty Dog.
Yeah, I probably agree with you there. I think Last of Us Part 2 probably, like, again, this category is probably gonna be one of the closer ones, because, you know, we're at that point in time where the sound design is pretty really good. Pretty really good is about the word, but,
close enough.
Last of Us Part 2 kind of just does it extra. Like, it just feels like you said, you're watching a movie or like you're actually there, especially with headphones on. Obviously, you know, every game I recommend playing with good headphones, get the full experience. But Last of Us Part 2, even if you have a huge surround sound TV, like, that's the game you want to be playing on.
Yeah, definitely. Next up, we have the best performance.
Awarded to an individual for voiceover acting, motion, and or performance capture. So, extensively the best actor. Our actress.
Yes, we have Ashley Johnson as Ellie and Laura Bailey as Abby in The Last of Us Part 2. And we have the performance of Jin Sakai in Ghost of Tsushima, Logan Cunningham as Hades, and Miles Morales in Spider-Man Miles Morales, which just came out recently.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised by that one, to be honest. Like, he did a fantastic job, not taking away from him, but I just figured, you know, since it's so new, like, it'd be, but good for him for being nominated there.
Yeah, this one was certainly tough. I spent a lot of time going back and forth with this one. I didn't want to go with the obvious Last of Us Part 2, but Abby, Laura Bailey as Abby, had an impossible job in The Last of Us 2, where she had to make the gamer Kara as this character who you immediately despised and hated moments after meeting her, and somehow midway through playing as Abby, I started to care for her and understand where she was coming from. So Laura Bailey is certainly going to be my choice for this
category. I agree. I think this one's gonna be pretty unanimous, to be honest. As much as, you know, I'm not trying to take credit away from any of these people because they've all done a fantastic job. But like you said, Abby is kind of new to the Last of Us franchise, an already established franchise where, you know, people learned to love Joel and Ellie in the previous game. And now Abby kind of comes in. Like you said, Laura Bailey kind of had an impossible job to make people care about her, and she did. And obviously, you know, she's well known in the industry, so she's always has a great job.
Yeah, for sure. And next up, we have Games for Impact.
It's a game that for a thought-provoking game with a pro-social meaning or message. So, like a game that hits close to home, or, you know, that comes out at the right time because of 2020, and, like, you know, just kind of makes, like, it hits you. Like, it's a game that when you play, you'll remember for quite a while. So we have If Found by Dreamfeel, Kentucky Route Zero TV Edition. Spiritfarer, Tell Me Why, and Through the Darkest of Times. Obviously, I haven't played any of these games besides Tell Me Why, which is an Xbox exclusive, so that's probably why a lot of people probably haven't played it. But essentially, you're playing the role as like a transgender. Is that okay to say?
I think that's fine.
Okay, as a transgender character who's kind of, you know, it's kind of the story of them going from a female to a male, and it's actually really, really good. The storytelling is fantastic, and it just touches on a social like a social meaning as the category kind of entails.
And next up, we have the best ongoing video game, which is just a video game that's constantly producing content and that is kind of stuck around throughout the last several years.
Says that evolves the player experience over time. So I guess they're like sticking around and making it feel better and better every time they pay attention. So this is an interesting one.
Yeah, every category I read, it's just, I couldn't imagine trying to pick a winner because this one, I mean, it's going to be extremely close. We have Apex Legends by Respawn, Destiny 2, Call of Duty Warzone, Fortnite, and No Man's Sky. Now, I recently downloaded No Man's Sky for the first time since launch, back, I think it was 2016 when No Man's Sky was released. And it was just, it definitely did not meet expectations I had and a lot of other people had going into it. But since then, I think they've released 6 or 7 expansions, and it's just a completely different game from what I had first played. So I think my pick is going to have to go to No Man's Sky by Hello Games. They've definitely done a great job of building back the trust we've had with the developer.
Yeah, I, as much as I want to say Apex Legends, I absolutely love that game. I do agree that's been No Man's Sky. Like Fortnite and all the other games, they've been pretty popular from the get-go. But No Man's Sky, like you said, it kind of came out dead. People were like, there's a big controversy about it. People wanted their money back for buying the game and everything like that. But Hello Games stuck with it and believed in their vision and just made the game. It's actually so much fun right now. They've done a fantastic job, so they definitely deserve this award. As you know, they. It's literally what they've done is literally what the description is: award to game for outstanding development of ongoing content that evolves the player experience over time. That's No Man's Sky to a T. So, they're going to get that award from me.
And next up, we have the best indie game. We have Spiritfarer, Splunky 2, Hades, Fall Guy, and Carry On. This one's another tough one. Which one do you kind of see walking away with this award?
So obviously this one is for an outstanding creative and technical achievement in a game made outside the traditional publisher system. Honestly, I'm probably going to give this one. I want to give this one to Hades. Any of these games are probably worth it. But just the fact that Hades came out and kind of made like a huge impact, and you know, it's even nominated for Game of the Year. That should pretty much explain that it's, you know, it came out and made a huge impact right out of the get go. So. It's a fantastic game, and I think Hades is going to win this one.
Yes, I agree. My brain says Hades just based on the amount of awards it has, like I said earlier, but my heart wants to go to I mean, either Fall Guys or Splunky too. I mean, Fall Guys kind of captivated all gamers for that brief period of time when we were all stuck at home. It's kind of died down in popularity recently. But Splunky 2 as well, the first one I spent a lot of time dying in, and the sequel is essentially the exact same one with just more content. So, I mean, I think, again, I think Hades, but my heart is saying Splunky 2.
All right, fair. Can't argue with that.
And next up, we have Best Mobile Game.
Yeah, I mean, this one's kind of tough because I don't do much for mobile gaming, but it's for the best game playable on a mobile device. So we have Among Us, Call of Duty Mobile, Genshin Impact, Legends of Runeterra, and Pokemon Cafe Mix. Again, I don't play much mobile games, but if I had to pick one, it'd be Among Us, because that's honestly probably the only game that you can play on mobile that isn't too complicated. You can just jump right in on Among Us, and I think it's that one should be there, or Call of Duty Mobile because it's so popular. But I don't really have an opinion on this one too much, to be honest.
Yeah, I think Among Us is going to take this one by far. I mean, it's been one of the most popular games of recent months, and it just seems every meme you see online or every page, it's some sort of Among Us meme of the imposter or something like that. So I think Among Us is going to take this one. Next up, we have Best Community Support.
So this one's interesting. This one is recognizing a game for outstanding community support, transparency, and responsiveness, inclusive of social media activity and game updates / patches. So we have Apex Legends, Destiny 2, Fall Guys, Ultimate Knockout, Fortnite, No Man's Sky, and Valorant. So I'm kind of curious to see what you think of this one.
I mean, all six of these nominations have, it's I feel like I'm repeating myself, but all of these games that are nominated just have such a good chance of winning. But I think Destiny 2 for me, is going to walk away with this one. I mean, I think Fall Guys has a solid chance. Fortnite has stuck around for a long time now. So, I mean, they also have a high percentage of stealing this one. But I think Destiny 2 is going to walk away with this one. What about you?
Yeah, I agree. I think, like, as much as like we just said, all these games are deserving of this nomination. Destiny 2 has really improved over the last couple of years. And that's because they'll listen to the community. Whatever the community wants, like, you see them at least trying to implement it. It may not be perfect, but they at least try to implement what the community asked for. So that's good enough for me, to be honest.
Yeah, and they even made it free. So, I mean, that blew me away when they made Destiny 2 for free, because
they've been some sort of award this year. So mm-hmm. I'll be okay with giving them this one.
Yeah, in our previous podcast, I mentioned Destiny 2 giving me a memory that I'm just going to hold on to for a while, just playing a raid with a group of random people. And through the roof excitement when we finally accomplished the raid. It was 2-3 in the morning, so I think that one is for mm-hmm. sure. And next up, we have the best AR VR video game category.
Obviously, this is for the best game experience playable in virtual or augmented reality. Doesn't matter what platform.
Yes, and we have Dreams, Half-Life Alyx, Iron Man in VR, Star Wars Squadrons, and The Walking Dead Saints and Sinners. Personally, I think the Star Wars fan in me is going to say Squadrons, just because it finally gave us that VR game that gave us control of a pilot in a spaceship, just flying around space, blowing everything up, which is pretty much what every Star Wars fan has wanted since VR has been announced. So I think Star Wars Squadrons is going to win it.
Yeah, it's about time, right?
Yeah. Which one are you picking for this one?
I don't know. I'm torn between Half-Life Alyx and Dreams, but I think I'm gonna give this one to Half-Life Alyx. Like I mentioned earlier, like Half-Life Alyx kind of set the bar for VR gaming. You know, it's from what I'm understanding, it's like a full-blown game. It's it's a pretty long game, and like the graphics are insane. So I think Half-Life Alyx is gonna get this one. Shout out to Dreams though, because Dreams is a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Dreams is a blast. So Half-Life Alyx definitely I think gets my reward in this one.
I'm just happy that we finally got a Half-Life sequel, because it seems like we've been asking for it for the last 47 years, right? And we finally kind of got it. Even though it's VR, it still counts. And next up is the innovation in accessibility. some solid options.
So this one is recognizing software and or hardware that is pushing the medium forward by adding features, technology, and content to help games be played and enjoyed by an even wider audience. So this one is actually one of my favorite categories, just because, you know, it helps everyone play games, helps everyone enjoy games. It doesn't matter like where you come from, what kind of what you're dealing with in life. Like, innovation and accessibility just makes everyone a gamer, and I'm all for it. So
yeah, for this one, I've only fooled around with the Last of Us Part II settings, and it definitely kind of grew what we're kind of accustomed to with the certain things you're able to do with enemies and colors and shadows. It definitely,
as I say, can we just give a shout out to Ubisoft for this one? They're nominated twice in the same category. As much as Ubisoft gets a lot of hate for their PR and what, you know, what they do, they're like being nominated twice in innovation and accessibility is huge. So I just want to give a shout out to them there.
Yeah, they've certainly been rebuilding their credit in the last several years, and it looks like going forward they have Watch Dogs Legion on here, Assassin's Creed Valhalla, which I mean, I'm sure you're probably going to pick that one. We have Grounded by Obsidian, Hyperdot, and The Last of Us Part Two.
I'm not going to pick Valhalla. It's not even my top two, to be honest with you.
Oh wow!
Last of Us Part Two would probably win this one. It has the most accessibility options in any video game ever. So that should be automatically there. I do want to give out a shout out to Grounded though, who kind of changed the game for us arachnophobes, aka me. They had like a spider slider. So if you're too scared of spiders, because spiders in that game are super realistic, and every time I see one, I want to throw my controller at the TV, because it's just, I'm getting shivers just thinking about it. But it gives you a slider to turn them into like white fluff balls, so they're not scary. But Last of Us 2 has the most accessibility options in any game ever as of right now. So that's enough there for me. So
yeah.
And next up, we have the best action video game. That's essentially just...
Ooh. Yeah. Assassin's obviously for the best game in the action genre, focusing primarily on combat. So you have Doom Eternal, Hades, Half-Life Alyx, Neo 2, and Streets of Rage. And I mean, it's Doom, right? Like, Doom is an action-packed game. Just non-stop action. So I feel like that's me, my winner there.
Yeah, I can't see Doom not walking away with this one, though the 9-year-old in me wants to say Streets of Rage 4, just because I grew up playing the Streets of Rage series on the Sega at my aunt's house, and it was one of the games that kind of introduced me to video games, so my heart says Streets of Rage, but again, Doom Eternal is walking away with this one.
Yeah, definitely.
Next up, we have Best Action / Adventure. We have Assassin's Creed Valhalla, Ghost of Tsushima, Spider-Man, Miles Morales, Ori and the Will of the Wisps, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, and you guessed it, Last of Us Part Two. What are you picking for this one?
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
So this one is obviously for the best action-adventure game, combining combat with traversal and puzzle-solving. So I'm gonna assume, I already know what you're going to pick, but I'm going to hand this one up to you first.
I mean, obviously, I want to pick The Last of Us Part Two just because it's one of my top games of the past year. But just to kind of add something different to the conversation, I'll say Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, just because it finally gave Star Wars fans a game to play besides The Force Unleashed, which we haven't seen since the PlayStation 3. So I'm going to give it to Jedi Fallen Order for this one.
Yeah, that's where I'm leaning as well. I also want to give it to Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order because I feel like it deserves some type of award. It got kind of like excluded from the Game Awards last year because it came out a little bit too late. So I feel like it definitely would have been in the running for Game of the Year last year. But obviously, you know, quality of games that came out this year kind of got pushed down. But it's a fantastic Star Wars game, and it's finally one that people enjoyed and played. And I had a blast playing it. So I'm going to give my vote to this one as well.
Yes, I think if it came out a little earlier on in 2020, because it came out November 15th of last year, but I think if it came out, you know, March, April, May, that sort of area, it would have had...
It missed the cutoff date for last year's Game Awards by a week.
Yeah, exactly. So I think just based on that, we've got to give a shout-out to it at least once. And next up is, I think my favorite category is Best Role-Playing Award. We have Final Fantasy Remake, Genshin Impact, Persona 5, Wasteland 3, and Yakuza Like a Dragon. What are you thinking for this one?
It's Persona 5 Royal. Just want to point that out there. Yeah. Not Persona 5.
two very different games, but this one's gonna be Persona 5 Royal, hands down. There's no game that even comes close to it. That's actually one game that I have played on the PlayStation, and oh, what a game that is, man. It's just so big. You can do whatever you want. Like, I think there's like over 300 hours, 400 hours of content you can just play in it. It's probably one of the best, like, I don't think it's one of the best games ever made, but I know a lot of like reporters and people in the industry think it's one of the best video games ever made. So we'll go with that.
Yeah, I think this one is going to come down to the Final Fantasy remake or Persona 5 Royal, though I know my friend David is a big Yakuza fan. I personally enjoy it because it's just a game you can toss on and just kind of spend a couple hours just causing massacres and destruction everywhere you look in the most over-the-top way. But again, I agree with you. I think Persona 5 Royal is going to take this one. Yeah. And next up, we have the best fighting game. And that, you want to just run
this
down.
This one's obviously for the best game design, primarily around head-to-head combat. So, I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory. But we have Granblue Fantasy versus Mortal Kombat 11 Ultimate, Street Fighter V Champion Edition, One Punch Man, a hero nobody knows, and Under Night and Birth EXE Late CLR. I don't know what that game is, but it sounds looks kind of cool. Yeah, so I'm curious to see what you think about this one, since I know you're not too much of a fighting guy. I mean, you said you played Streets of Rage, but it's obviously not here.
Yeah, I would love to be more of a fighting gamer. It's just, it doesn't really speak out to me. I like more story-based, that sort of thing. But I'm going to pick Mortal Kombat 11 just because I think by far is one of the best fighting games of the past, 20, 30 years now. And I mean, they're constantly adding DLC and characters to it to keep it fresh and innovative. So I think Mortal Kombat 11, the Ultimate Edition, is going to win this one.
Yeah, I have to agree. Like Mortal Kombat, I know you said you're a story guy, and the story in Mortal Kombat 11 is actually really, really good. If you haven't played it, I recommend it. But it's to me, it's one of the best. Like it was the top fighting video game I've played in such a long time. So I think that's definitely going to get my vote there.
Yeah, for sure. Next up is another difficult category, which is it's going to be full of just top contenders. It's going to be certainly close. Best family. We have Animal Crossing's New Horizons, which kind of came out at the perfect time, right at the start of the quarantine. Crash Bandicoot 4, It's About Time, Fall Guys, Mario Kart Live Home Circuit, Minecraft Dungeons, and Paper Mario the Origami King. I'm kind of curious to see what you're going to pick, because I think I know what you're going to pick, but I think you might surprise me.
Yeah, so obviously this one's for the best game appropriate over family play, irrespective of genre or platform. I'm torn on this one. I'm torn between Minecraft Dungeons and Fall Guys.
Yeah, it's a tough category.
It's super tough. Like, I'm gonna give it to Fall Guys, I think, just because I had so much fun playing that game. Like, it kind of came out like we say at the right time, where, you know, it came out a bit in late August, I think, but like, you know, the pandemic was kind of full swing then, and it just brought so much joy and cheer to everybody. And it's a game that, you know, like, that was one of the games that my girlfriend played. She's not much of a gamer, so it's one of those games where you can just hand the controller to somebody, tell them those two buttons to press, that's it, and then they can have fun. So it doesn't matter if you're a hardcore gamer or not, like, it's just a fun game to play. So I'm gonna give it to Fall Guys.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, my girlfriend is the same way. She's not much of a gamer. She tried Fall Guys, and I would come home every night and just see her trying to beat one of the obstacles. I mean, she's tried Animal Crossing, but she can't really get into it. Crash Bandicoot, I mean, the child in me wants to say that one, but again, I think Fall Guys just kind of took over at the right time when it was released.
Yep, definitely. Yep, for sure. I mean, don't get me wrong, Crash Bandicoot 4 is a fantastic game, but I think Fall Guys is more family or like it's easier for anybody to pick it up. And where Crash Bandicoot, you know, it's a big complicated stuff going on there.
Yeah, it's. I think it's a lot more tough than people kind of thought, especially when the remaster came out and it kind of pissed off a lot of gamers, I think, including myself.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, we have Best Sim and Strategy with Crusader Kings 3, Desperados 3, Gears Tactics, the Microsoft Flight Simulator, and XCOM Chimera Squad. What are you thinking for this one?
Yeah. Oh, man, this is one of my favorite genres. Like, Sim and Strategy and RPG are probably my two top
So I'm super excited to talk about this category. This one's best game focused on real time or turn-based simulation or strategy gameplay, irrespective of platform. And honestly, I can probably say I've played all these games except Microsoft Flight Simulator because my computer would not run it. But I've played every single one of these games at least for a couple hours. So I'm gonna let you pick one here, and then we're gonna kind of go into a bit of depth on this one.
Yeah, I haven't really spent much time with many of these. I've played a bit of XCOM, and I had a lot of fun doing that. So I think just based on that, I'm going to have to pick that one. I know Microsoft Flight Simulator, they seem to release a game every few years, and it kind of takes off. And I know that one might have a solid chance of winning as well. I'm reading here. It was first released in 1982.
Yeah, my God. It's one of the OG ones, man. It's one of the OG games. The fact that Microsoft Simulator came out, it looked fantastic, by the way. Like I said, I couldn't play it because my computer is a potato. But it's just watching everybody else play it. It looks so nice. I think it's personally going to win this category. But if I had to give an award out, I'd probably give it to Gears Tactics or Crusader Kings 3. Gears Tactics, it's Gears of War, but XCOM style. So, I mean, if you love Gears of War, you're going to love Gears Tactics. You'd probably enjoy Gears Tactics, actually. And then Crusaders Kings is so in depth. It's more like it's definitely a sim where you start off as like a peasant in like medieval England or medieval Europe, we'll say. And you kind of forge your own story. So, and then you kind of work your way up, and then eventually your character dies and you kind of have like heirs and stuff like that. And it just never ends. It's always ongoing. So I think, personally, I'm going to give it to Crusader Kings 3 just because I think it's one of the top sim-style strategy games out right now.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to have to try Gears Tactics now because that sounds pretty freaking amazing.
If you like XCOM and if you like enjoy somewhat Gears of War, you're going to like Gears Tactics. It's exactly the same as XCOM, just with a Gears story.
Yeah, the only Gears I've played is Gears of War 4. I know that's not a great one to start with, but I had a great time playing with that one. So I'm definitely going to have to go download that
tonight. Well, give it a shot. And the beauty about it, it's on Xbox Game Pass. So you can play it anywhere you want. You can play it on your phone. You can play it on your computer. You can play it on Xbox. As long as you have Game Pass, you're good to go.
I love that. That's Game Pass is wonderful.
I was playing your Tactics on my new phone actually this last night. Cause, like, just downloaded it and I was able to play it on the go. So
does it play?
I love Game Pass.
Does it handle well on the phones? Because I know some.
Yeah, I mean, like, obviously, you know, like, obviously, yeah, obviously, like, Gears Tactics, it's more of like it's easier because, but it's not like a huge RPG game. But you could play a huge RPG game on the phone. It's just obviously depending on your phone and like what your phone processor is and whatnot, and you might see a bit of, you know, you might not experience the whole thing. So.
You give me The Witcher 3 on my cell phone, and that is when I quit my job and I am never seen from again, because that'll just be it for me as a
game. I actually believe The Witcher 3 is on Game Pass right now, so.
Oh, okay. I'm going to have to cut this podcast off short.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely looking at Game Pass, so that's a conversation for another time.
Next up is the best sports / racing game. We have Dirt 5, F1 2020. NBA 2K21, FIFA 21, and Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2. Now, for me, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2 jumps right off the page here, the remastered of the 1999 and 2000 video game that turned seemingly every gamer into a skateboarder for the next several years. Certainly, it's taken up a lot of my time all over again. So I think Tony Hawk and his remastered video game is going to be taking this one.
Yeah, this one's actually a really tough category because, I mean, like, we're huge sports fans, both of us. I don't know. I feel like I'd probably give it to Tony Hawk's Pro Skater because it's different. It's a different kind of sport, and I like people that aren't necessarily sports fans probably have played it. You know what I mean? So I'd probably give it to this one, but I do think FIFA 21 has a good chance of winning just because of how popular the game actually is. That's probably the most popular sports game. Not an F1 is pretty popular too. So I think either of those could win, but I'm going to give it to Tony Hawk's as well. Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2 as well.
I think NBA 2K21 also has a solid chance. I mean, every year their entries.
I think any one of those have a solid chance, to be honest with you. Those are all pretty good, good quality sport games if you enjoy any of those kind of racing or basketball or soccer or anything like that. Like you, those are probably the best ones you'll get. So
I see WWE 2K21 was left off the list, which I mean, I don't think we need to, I don't think nobody's confused as to why.
Or NHL 21 for that matter.
Yeah. And next up, best multiplayer with Animal Crossing, Among Us, Call of Duty Warzone, Fall Guys, and Valorant. This one, I think all entries have a phenomenal chance of stealing this one. Which one are you thinking is going to win it?
Oh, man. So this one, obviously, is for outstanding online multiplayer gameplay and design, including co-op and massively multiplayer experiences, irrespective of game genre or platform. Oh, this one's tough. I'm not going to give it to Animal Crossing. As much as a lot of people loved it, I know the Nintendo multiplayer system isn't very good. So that's going to automatically eliminate that. I'm going to have to say Call of Duty Warzone, I think, just because it's a game that's been continuously played. Everybody knows what it is. Everybody plays it. You see like big-time streamers always playing it. It never gets old. So I'm going to give it to that one, I think.
Yeah, that's the one I was leaning towards as well. Call of Duty up until then was kind of falling flat with the last few entries. I mean, we were in space. It was set. Nobody really, it was pretty much the same game every year in the multiplayer. There wasn't really any enhancements, but then the battle royale genre started and Call of Duty kind of dipped their toes into that. And it's one of the top multiplayer games this year and probably moving forward. So yeah, I think Warzone is going to pick that one up.
Agreed.
And next up, we have the best debut game.
This is this is for the best debut game created by a new independent studio. So a new studio, it's like a new studio's first game type thing.
And we have Corian by Phobia Game Studio, Mortal Shell by Cold Symmetry, Raji and Ancient Epic by Nodding Heads Games, Roki by Polygon Treehouse, and Phasmophobia by Kinetic Games. Have you played any of these yet?
So I haven't played any of these, but the only two, I've heard of Carry On, Mortar Shell, and Phasmophobia, so I'm going to stick with around those ones. I think Carry On would probably win this one. I feel like it came out earlier than all three of those, and I feel like I've heard a lot of people talking about it, so that's the only reason why I'm giving to it. I don't know much about it. These games, I never played any of them, but Carry On's the one that like screamed. Like when I looked at it, it was the first one that jumped off. Phasmophobia was picking up ground in the last couple of weeks. I know a couple of my friends were playing it. So it could be that, but I don't like horror games. So I'm eliminating just for that reason. But Carry On is going to win this one, I think, just based on what I'm hearing.
Yeah, I'm a big horror guy and just reading the brief infos on Carry On and Phasmophobia, it definitely intrigued me, so I might have to download those later tonight. I mean, Carry On, you control.
Carry On's interesting. I do know what Carry On is about. I think you're the monster, aren't you, in Carry On?
Yeah, it says here it allows players to control a tentacle monster whose objective is to make its way through a facility, stalking and killing humans in its path. That's it. I'm sold on that. So based on that, I'm going to pick this game. I'm going to download it once we're done here.
I've actually seen gameplay on it, and it's pretty fun. I've never played it myself, but from what I see, it's a blast.
And then next up, we have Content Creator of the Year with Alana Pierce, Jayon Lopez, Nick Kolchev, Timothy Bitar, and Rachel Hofstetter, and I will let you take the lead here because I know you have a bit more information with these five creators.
So this is for the streamer or content creator who has made an important and positive impact on the community in 2020. Obviously, you have Alana Pierce, who I'm sure everybody knows. If you haven't watched her latest video, I'd suggest that she has some pretty interesting news about her life there, and it's really interesting. I don't want to spoil it, but I did definitely go watch that. Jayon Lopez, I'm not too familiar with. Then you have that Nick Merckx, who's more of a Call of Duty player than anything. Then you have Tim the Tap Man. You got to know who Tim the Tap Man is, just based off his Fall Guys. Then you have Valkyrie, who I believe she's a Call of Duty player too, but I think she just creates a lot of content. Honestly, like my top two from what just thinking about are Alana Pierce and Tim the Tap Man, just because I know they've both have super huge years.
Obviously, you know, the whole Fall Guys debacle with Tim the Tap Man. Basically, he was struggling to get a crown, and he's been playing the game for so long that Fall Guys started tweeting at him and making fun of him. And I think he had like over a million viewers at one point watching him trying to get his crown. So it was pretty entertaining. And he's grown so much from last year. And you have a lot of peers who has taken off. She's been on, you know, the Kind of Funny X-Cat. She has her own podcast. I think it's called Gameplay Listen or Play Game Listen, one of those. And obviously she has a huge, she's been around for quite a bit. People probably recognize her everywhere. So I'm going to go for Tim the Tap Man just because I think he has grown the most out of all these people on the list. But a lot of peers is probably second there.
We have two left. We have most anticipated game, which I think is my second favorite category. We have Elden Ring from Software, the God of War sequel for the PlayStation, probably PlayStation 4 and 5, Halo Infinite, Horizon Forbidden West, Resident Evil Village, and the Breath of the Wild sequel. And I will let you start kick things off here. This is a tough one.
Ooh, that's a tough one. There's some very all those games are pretty solid. Yeah. I'm not a huge Resident Evil fan, so I'm gonna say probably not that one. Although Village does intrigue me. I do like the idea of running having a village, but I don't do horror games, and just because I'm a wuss and I'm too scared. so Resident Evil is definitely not on that list. I don't own a PS5 right now, so I can't say God of War or Horizon because I don't want to play them on the PS4, even though you can. You know what I mean? Elden Ring kind of has me interested, but then I know it's also like a Dark Souls game, and I can't stand those games because they're too difficult for me. So that's kind of why I'm like, but like the story and the fact that George R. Martin is writing it as well kind of really, really intrigues me. I do want to see more about it, but I think the most anticipated one would be Breath of the Wild sequel, I think, if I really had to choose. Obviously, I'm a huge Xbox guy, and Halo is there, but Halo, like, I'm psyched for Halo, but I also know Halo, it's gonna be Halo no matter what, you know what I mean? Like, it's gonna be really good, but it's gonna be Halo, whereas Breath of the Wild sequel could go in so many different directions that I'm kind of curious to see where they're going. Because I Breath of the Wild, like I mentioned in the first episode, kind of got me back into gaming when I was kind of out of it, so it does have a special place in my heart, and I really want to see where they go with that.
Yeah, I'm definitely waiting to see a little more with the next Halo game, because I know based on what we've seen so far, though not the finished product, it didn't really excite me too much. But I mean, I'm sure it'll be excellent when that is released. The Breath of the Wild sequel, I'm sure, will just be out of this world, as the first one was an excellent kind of surprise to the Switch. Horizon Zero Dawn, I think. Yeah, you're right, this is tough. All of these, I think I'm excited for.
It's Horizon Forbidden West, by the way, not Zero Dawn.
Oh, yes, the Horizon Forbidden West, the sequel to Horizon Zero Dawn. I think that has a possibility to kind of be a Game of the Year candidate. God of War sequel, I think, by far, is what is exciting PlayStation gamers the most. I mean, the first one, well, I guess technically the fourth one for the PS4 is definitely my favorite game for the PlayStation 4. It's just storytelling is beyond anything I've played. The gameplay, the combat, everything is just excellent. So I think the God of War sequel for me is going to be my most anticipated game. Though I'm also as excited for Ratchet and Clank, even though it's not on this list. I'll just
out of the games on the list, it'd be Breath of the Wild. But if games aren't on the list, it's definitely going to be Fable for me. I just love the Fable games, and I'm really curious where they're going. Playground Games makes incredible open world games, so I'm very, very curious to see how that gets a new company taking over that IP. So I'm kind of really curious to see what kind of direction they go in. But
I'm also surprised not to see Cyberpunk 2077 on here, even though it's been delayed several times. I mean, I that's probably why. They're a little cautious to put it on here. I think it'll be released in 2077.
Yeah, seriously though, but like we mentioned the first episode, the hype kind of died down to me on that one. So
yeah, and the last category, the big one, is Game of the Year. We have Animal Crossing, New Horizons, Doom Eternal, the Final Fantasy remake, Ghost of Tsushima, Hades, and The Last of Us Part 2. Now you can probably guess which one I'm going to lean towards, but I'll let you begin things here.
So this is a very interesting category for me, because when I think of game of the year, I don't think of the best game of that year. To me, it's more, if I look back on 2020, what game do I think about? That's what the game of the year to me means. But based on the description here, I'm going to give two different answers. So the one for Game Awards is recognizing a game that delivers the absolute best experience across all creative and technical fields. So obviously to me, that would be Last of Us 2, Last of Us Part 2. That, like, it's probably the most visually pleasing game, best story game. It was fantastic. So that one would win there. But my personal game of the year, based on this list, I have another choice, but based on this list, would be Animal Crossing New Horizons.
Really?
But just like, so the game of the year, I think that's going to win, it's Last of Us Part 2, based on the description that Game Awards gives us. But when I look, like 5 years from now, when I look back on 2020, the game I'm going to think about the most is not going to be Last of Us. It's going to be Animal Crossing New Horizons, just because of what it did and it came out at the right time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it kind of took over everywhere, every switch around the world.
Yeah, so Last of Us Part 2 is the best game of 2020 in every sense of the word. But when I think back on 2020, I probably won't remember Last of Us Part 2 came out in 2020, to be honest. Probably part of it is I haven't played it. But when I think 2020, it's going to be Animal Crossing New Horizons. So I'm going to give my vote to Last of Us Part 2, because I think based on the descriptions that Game Awards gives us, it 100% deserves that award. So.
Yeah, I think it's going to come down to Ghost of Tsushima, which has a chance to kind of sneak up and steal this from The Last of Us Part 2. But I think I agree with you. I think The Last of Us Part 2 is going to win, just because leading up to its release and following its release, every gamer had an opinion on it or was talking about it. It was the topic of conversation for months with the leaks and following it. And I just don't think any other games had that sort of impact on the gaming industry that Last of Us Part 2 had this year. So I think that's going to pick up the award year. I think they have a chance to kind of take Naughty Dog has a chance to take up a lot of awards this year. I think they have, I think I said 10 nominations.
Yeah, I mean, Sony and Naughty Dog are probably going to mostly sweep this whole thing. Let's be honest. They had a great 2020.
Yeah, for sure. With those six entries into Game of the Year, I think Resident Evil 3 should have been added to that, because I know when Resident Evil 2 came out in 2019, it was nominated for Game of the Year, Best Game Direction, Best Audio Design, Best Action Adventure. And this year, I think it's only nominated for one category. Yeah, Best Audio Design. So I think that that should have gotten a bit more love by Capcom this year. What about you?
Yeah, no, that's definitely fair. I personally think Jedi Fallen Order should have got a lot more nominations.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
I don't think it would have been. I think it should have been nominated for Game of the Year. I probably would have made it win, because Last of Us, Ghost of Tsushima, all those came out. But I think it should have at least got a nod for Game of the Year, just because it even though it came out in 2019, it qualified for this year's Game Awards. So you know what I mean? Like I said, it was a top tier game. Like I still remember playing that game. Obviously I think Ori and the Will of the Wisps definitely deserves way more nods than what it's getting. That game is absolutely fantastic. If you have Game Pass on anything, I would recommend playing it at least once. But those are out of the games on here, those would be the two that I think should probably get a bit some more nods.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. I played the first Ori on the Xbox One, and I loved it. So, I mean, I'm sure the second one is just as good, if not better.
Yeah, definitely.
I think Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order just fell to its launch date. If it had released early in 2020 or mid-2020, it probably would have been on the list for Game of the Year.
So, obviously, this is episode 2 of our podcast. We want to, give a huge shout-out to the people who watched and listened to our first one. If you want to, share with your friends and kind of get this podcast rolling. We're trying to make it a weekly podcast, so once a week. I believe we're aiming for every Friday, right? Every Friday should be a release date.
Yeah, I think that's a solid day. End of the week.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, I think so too. Just in case of any other news or whatnot. So Jesse and I really appreciate everyone's support, and we hope you guys enjoyed this episode here.